The gospel then according to Luke, especially I draw your attention tonight to chapter 19, verse 3, he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. Wanting to see Christ is our subject tonight. This morning we were in Nain. Jesus saw the woman. Tonight we are 80 miles south of Nain at the city of Jericho. And in Luke chapter 18 and Luke chapter 19, we read of two men there. This is the last trip of Jesus through Jericho. He is making his ascent to Jerusalem, where he will be crucified. These are the last two conversions in Israel before our Lord dies. These two men. The first is a man called Bartimaeus. Now, we're not told his name here in Luke. Luke just says a certain man who was blind. But Mark tells us his name. Mark tells us that his name is Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. The second man is in chapter 19. He is Zacchaeus. Now clearly both these men are linked together, the man at the end of chapter 18 and the man at the beginning of chapter 19. They are linked together by time, the same time. And they're linked together by space, the same space, the city of Jericho, the same day, the same place, and the Lord comes in contact with them both. But there's something else that links them. As we turn the narrative over in our mind, we see there is something that makes them both similar. And it is this: they both wanted to see Jesus. They both wanted to see Christ. Of Zacchaeus, that is distinctly said, he sought to see Jesus. But it's also true, we believe, of Bartimaeus. So here are two men who want to see the Lord, but they can't. They couldn't see him. But it's something that they desire. They desire to see him. And in their desire to see him, they did something about it. Wanting to see the Lord is our theme tonight. It's a good thing to want to see the Lord. It's a good thing to seek to see Jesus. God's people should seek to see Jesus. It makes them glad when they see him. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So we should seek to see Jesus. And sinners should certainly seek to see Christ. It's a good thing to want to see the Lord. And we want to think about these two men who wanted to see Jesus. Four things that I want to draw your attention to concerning them. The first thing is that these men had difficulty in seeing the Lord. It wasn't easy to see Jesus. In the case of Bartimaeus, it's very obvious why it wasn't easy for him to see Jesus, because you see he was blind. It was a certain blind man that day, and he couldn't see Jesus. Now, the fact that he's sitting at the wayside begging, that tells us he's totally blind. He's not short-sighted. Short-sightedness in the Bible isn't blindness. No, blindness is you can't see at all. He cannot work. He cannot provide for himself. And therefore, he must sit every day by the wayside begging, hoping that by that means he may get his income to sustain his life. Blindness was common in ancient times, especially in hot climates in Israel and the Middle East, mainly caused by infection. Few were born blind. In fact, we only read of one case of man being born blind in all the Bible, and that was in the Gospel of John. But blindness was a common thing through disease and infection. And this blindness prevented Bartimaeus from seeing anything. But in its context, it especially prevented him seeing Jesus. He heard the commotion. He says, "What's happening? What does it mean, all this commotion?" And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And that created a desire in his heart to see him. He must have heard of Jesus of Nazareth. He obviously did. He knew about him. This was his opportunity. So this blind man wanted to see Jesus. Now, as common as physical blindness is in Israel, spiritual blindness is far more prevalent. Spiritual blindness is universal. All are blind by nature, spiritually speaking. All are born blind, and none can see the Lord by nature. This blindness of all men is inherited from our first father, Adam. The event that caused it, as you know, is the fall. The virus that entered into the human race was original sin. And as in Adam all die, even so in Adam all have been made blind. Can't see the Lord. Adam became blind. He was the only man who had original sight. He could see the Lord. The Lord walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam could see him, and Adam could commune with him. He had spiritual vision. He had perception of God. He could see the Lord, original sight. But when he sinned, he could no longer see the Lord. In fact, he didn't want to see the Lord. He ran into the trees and hid, no longer wanting to see God at all. He hid there, and all the sight he had went. And sinners have the same spiritual blindness. Sacrificial animals, whenever they were offered, they were to be without spot and blemish. And blindness counted as a blemish. Leviticus 22, verse 22 says, "Blind, or broken, or maimed, or having an ulcer, or scurvy, or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord." All these defects picture sin, picture blemish of our nature. And the first one named is, guess what? Blindness. Blindness is a blemish of the human race. Men are blind in sin. And Christ alone is the Lamb without spot and blemish. And he could see. He could see. He saw clearly. He saw his Father. He saw his Heavenly Father clearly. He sees the truth clearly. He sees sinners clearly. But sinners cannot see him. They are sitting like Bartimaeus, sitting in darkness, sitting by the wayside in their little short sojourn of life, perishing in the darkness. And of all the things that they cannot see, this is the main thing, this is the most important thing. They cannot see the Lord. They see no beauty in him to desire him. They don't see that he is the answer to their plight. They don't see that he is the one thing needful. They just can't see it. They can't see who he is. They're blind. And this blindness is so real that Christ's coming and his gospel is frequently depicted as for those who are blind and in darkness. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. That's what the gospel does. It causes men to see who are in darkness. And why did Jesus come into the world? The Bible says, to open the blind eyes and to bring the prisoners out of the prison house. And for them that sit in the darkness of the dungeon, in the blindness of their sin, Christ has come to bring them out of that state into gospel light. It's a real thing, the spiritual blindness. And the Lord Jesus says in the prophecy of Isaiah, I will bring the blind, he says. That's all the ones he brings after him. He brings the blind by a way that they know not. And I'll lead them in paths that they have not known. And I'll make the darkness light before them and the crooked things straight. These things I'll do to them, he says, and I'll not forsake them. Jesus is speaking those words. He makes the blind to see. This blindness is real. Every gospel preacher knows this. He is aware of the blindness. And every minister knows it is his duty to endeavor to make men see. Of course, preachers cannot make men see by their own strength, but still they are to present Christ, and they trust the Lord that he will make them to see. So blindness, spiritual blindness, is a real thing, and this blindness of Bartimaeus depicts the blindness of all sinners. He couldn't see the Lord. Zacchaeus is different. He was not able to see the Lord for different reasons. It tells us in chapter 19, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He sought to see Jesus and could not for the press because he was little of stature. So there appear to be two reasons why Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus. The first reason was that he was an unpopular publican. He was a chief publican, the Bible says. He was not therefore liked. No publican was liked. All publicans were hated, and we suppose that chief publicans were hated chiefly and most of all. And I think that was one of the reasons why he couldn't see Jesus, because of the press, because of the crowd. And they're not going to let him through. They're not going to open up the way for this man, the chief publican. He takes their taxes, and they're not going to open up the door, because he wants to get through to see Jesus. So the first reason is the press. The press keeps him out. And the crowd and the opposition kept him from seeing Jesus. And this crowd, for the most part, were self-righteous, because he's a great sinner and they're not. And so the other reason was they're malicious, they're just nasty, and they just have an attitude. They keep him out. You know, there are sinners who are kept from seeing the Lord. Literally kept from seeing the Lord. There are people who would keep the sinner from seeing Christ. The crowd would keep the sinner from seeing Christ. And there are people who would keep sinners out and not allow them to see Jesus. Now, of course, the chief crowd is the devil's crowd. The devil himself and his evil spirits, his evil angels. He is the god of this world who blinds men, who doesn't want men to see Jesus, and his crowd of angels works hard to do that, to keep them from seeing Jesus. Keep them out. There's many a man is kept out by the press of evil spirits from seeing the Lord. And they have different means of keeping them out from seeing the Lord. There's the drugs and the booze, and there's the pleasures of this world, and there's the evil philosophies of the world, and there's so many things to blind men and to stop them from seeing Jesus. And Satan's ambassadors, the serpent's seed, who are heavily engaged in this work, and the false prophets and the false teachers and the peddlers of errors, blinding men, keeping them from seeing Christ, the crowd of heresies which push sinners out and will never allow them to see the Lord. And one of the great elbows to push the sinner out in this day and age is the elbow of evolution, or humanism. Human worth and human value and human dignity. You don't need to see God, for there is no God. Atheism, the elbow of atheism shoving into the ribs of man, not allowing them to press through to see the Lord. It's a real problem. And there are many a one like Zacchaeus, not able to get through, not able to push through the press. The world's crowd keeping you from seeing Christ. It might be the crowd in the pub. It might be the crowd in the dens of iniquity, or the crowd of the ungodly human societies that men get tied up in. All those crowds keep sinners from seeing Jesus. That was one reason, the press, why he couldn't see Jesus. But there was another reason. It is distinctly said in the text, he was of little stature. He wasn't tall. He's a chief publican, but he's not the chief in height. He's small. He can't get through the press. He can't see over the press because of his height. This is what the Bible says. He's too small. He's too low down to see Jesus. He's high up to make money. He's high up among the rich. He's high up in the society of the publicans. But he's low down when it comes to see Jesus. And he can't see him because he's low down. Sinners are low down. What are we? We're low-down sinners, every one of us. That's what we are by nature. We can't see the Lord. Can't see him over the press. Can't see him over the sins and the pleasures of the world. We're low-down sinners. Too low. Low in the dung of sin to see the Lord. Can't rise above the world. Can't rise above the errors. There's a complete inability to see over and beyond to see the Lord. This is the makeup of Zacchaeus. This is the way that he was born. He's a low-down man. A low-down sinner. And low-down sinners just can't see the Lord. Both these men, for different reasons, had difficulty seeing Christ. But then the second thing that we would think about is to reflect on what their thoughts might have been on the Lord seeing them. On the Lord seeing them. What are they thinking about the Lord seeing them? The blind, what did he think? Well, it is probable he thought the Lord wouldn't see him. He hears a crowd coming. He's sitting by the wayside. He knows that the Lord will pass him. But there's a whole crowd around him. And he thinks that the Lord's not going to see me. I'm here, I am sitting begging. And this whole crowd is blocking out the Lord's view. He'll be going past. He's not going to see me. He's not going to notice me. I'm too insignificant. Isn't that why he cried out? Because he was afraid the Lord wouldn't see him. And so he cried out to get the attention of the Savior. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Look upon me. See me. he must have been thinking, the Lord's not going to see me, and I want to see him, and I want him to see me. You know, there are people who think like that, sadly. There are blind sinners who think like that and who say, the Lord doesn't see me. And the Lord doesn't want to see me. And I am insignificant in the path of life. And he just doesn't see me. Who am I? He couldn't possibly see me. He couldn't possibly take any notice of me. He couldn't possibly have any interest in me. And Bartimaeus thinks, hardly anybody ever notices me. I'm sitting here all the time and all pass by all the time. Oh, a few stop, a few give me a few coins. There are some kind ones who give me a glance of pity now and again, throw in a coin. But Jesus of Nazareth, he won't see me. He'll miss me. There are too many about him. He's got others who are too close to him. He's got plenty of people who are near to him. And who am I? I'm just a blind, poor sinner here sitting by the wayside. He won't even see me. He won't even notice me. I hear he has dear disciples, Peter, James, and John, and others. He sees them, and he's surrounded by them, but he won't see me. And maybe there are sinners who think like that. Who am I? The Lord will never see me in the journey of life. Here I am sitting in the wayside of the journey of life, and I'll live and I'll die here, and he'll never see me. Do you think like that? It's because you're blind that you think like that. He sees you. He sees all men. He sees every poor sinner in their need, in their plight. That's why he sends the gospel to you, because he sees you. That's why you have the gospel preached every week to you. Why? Because he sees you. He does see you. Don't think he doesn't see me. This is how Bartimaeus is thinking. I think Zacchaeus was something similar. While he wanted to see Jesus, he did not expect the Lord to see him. In a sense, the blind man wanted to be seen. He wanted to see Jesus and he wanted to be seen of Jesus. But I don't think that's true of Zacchaeus. I don't think Zacchaeus wanted that. I think he just wanted to see Jesus who he was. And while he might have liked Jesus to see him, he didn't expect it either. He didn't expect the Lord to notice him. He expected him to be like the crowd. The crowd don't notice me. The crowd shut me out. He probably expected Jesus, he'll just do the same. He'll shut me out, but I've heard a lot of stories about him, and I want to see him. I don't expect to be seen by him. I'm an outcast of Israel. I collect taxes for the Romans. And he probably thought Jesus will just treat him the same, the very same. Now, that's not what happened, as we know. The Lord did see him, the text says. Whenever Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And the unexpected took place. He even called him by his name. And Zacchaeus was delighted and surprised. But he didn't really expect Jesus to see him. He just wanted to see Jesus. And he didn't believe that it could be so, that the Lord would especially come to his house and have dinner. Do you think the Savior doesn't see you? Perhaps you say, I would like to see the Lord, but he would never notice me. I'm too sinful. I'm an outcast. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief publican. I should like to acquaint myself with him, but he would never want to acquaint himself with me. I'm the chief publican, after all. You can be sure tonight that the Lord knows you, he sees you, he knows your condition. And if you desire to see him, you'll not be disappointed. That's the second thing, just reflecting on their thoughts about the Lord seeing them as they desire to see the Lord. The third thing is what they do in order to see the Lord. Because they don't only have the desire to see the Lord, the wanting to see Him even in the face of obstacles and difficulties, they did something about it. They made the effort to see the Lord the best that they could. They endeavored to see Jesus. They both made themselves conspicuous. They are going to get above the crowd. They are going to get the notice of the Lord Jesus. They're going to get in line of view to see Him and for Him, hopefully, to see them. The blind one cries out. He wants to see the Lord. What does he do? He cries out. The multitude's passing by. He asks what it meant. He's told Jesus is coming. And he cries out saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the people who are in front of the crowd, "Shut up, he's coming. Be quiet. Don't delay him." But he didn't listen to them. He cried out the more. He cried out the louder, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." He's loud. He's bold. He's persistent. And he won't be shut up and he won't be stopped. This is like prayer, isn't it? It is prayer. Bold. Persistent. Calling on the name of Jesus. That's prayer. It is interesting that Luke 18 is the chapter about prayer. It starts with prayer. Verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint, not to give up. Someone says, "Shut your mouth, stop your praying," but they keep on praying. They don't give up. The chapter's about that. And there are two parables about praying and prayer. The parable of the widow and the unjust judge. You know the story well. She won't stop coming. She won't stop asking the unjust judge, and the unjust judge knows she'll never give up. She'll always be persistent. And then there are those two men who are praying in the temple, the publican and the Pharisee. And then the chapter ends with this blind man praying. Now, he's praying like the widow woman, persistently, continually. He's not going to be shut up, and he's praying like the publican. "God be merciful to me, the sinner. Jesus, have mercy on me." He's praying not like the Pharisee. He's praying like the publican. So at the end of these two parables, this story comes in by the inspired pen writer Luke. Here's how a man should pray. If you want to see Jesus, this is what you have to do. You have to pray like this. Boldly. Persistently. He's desperate to see Jesus. And nobody can shut him up. And if you want to see the Lord, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to be persistent. You're going to have to become a seeker. You're going to have to become an earnest and persistent seeker. "If ye shall seek me, ye shall find me. And when you shall search for me with all your heart, you shall see me." Yes, you have to seek the Lord with all your heart. You have to be persistent. Like Moses was. "I beseech thee, Lord, show me thy glory. I want to see you like I've never seen you before, Lord." And he saw the Lord many times, especially in the burning bush. Oh, but he needed a new glimpse of the Lord. He wanted to see the Lord in a fresh manner. And he said, "Lord, I beseech you, show me your glory." Do you want to see the Lord in a fresh manner? Do you want to get a new glimpse of the Savior? A soul-refreshing view of Jesus in his word?
then you have to ask. You have to be earnest. You have to be bold. You have to be persistent. You have to be believing.
If you want to see the Lord, you'll pray. You'll have to cry, "Lord, that I might see." If you just sit on, if you just sit by the wayside begging, if you just sit quiet and careless, he'll pass by and you'll never see him and you'll never know him. No, you have to arise from your stupor and you have to cry out. Now this, of course, is a humble thing, to cry out. It's actually quite humiliating to cry out publicly like this. I mean, especially whenever people are saying, "Shut up." He's humbled. He doesn't care what people think. He's no pride. Doesn't matter. Pride can go to the wind. He just wants to see the Lord. He doesn't care about anything else. And he shouts and he's loud to call his name. He just wants to know the Lord. He just wants to meet the Savior. He's not one bit embarrassed to pray his name publicly. "Jesus, me the sinner, have mercy on me." He's truly a humble man. What does Zacchaeus do in order to see the Lord? Well, you know the story well. Every child can tell us. What does he do? There's a sycamore tree just outside the city. He runs ahead and he climbs up it, into its large branches. And the crowd's going to come past. He's going to see Jesus above the press. He had to climb up to see Jesus. It's the only way. You have to climb heights to see Christ. You have to climb above the world and the mundane and above all the things of the world. You have to go up the ladder and you have to get into the branches. The Bible is the lofty book. It stands higher than all the human writings of men. It has 66 branches. You can stand on any one of them above the world and see Jesus. You have to climb up the book. You have to climb into the text of the Holy Word. It's a great tree, the top of which reaches to the very heavens itself. You have to ascend by Scripture to see the Lord. You have to stand on one or other of its 66 branches up into the text of the tree, and you'll only see Christ from the viewpoint of his lofty word. We have to climb the book, brethren and sisters, to see Christ. You know, Zacchaeus humbled himself by lifting himself up. That's an interesting thought. He's rich, you see. He's well dressed. He has on his nice clothes. He's chief. He's high up. And what's he doing? He's climbing a tree. Only little boys climb trees. Who climbs trees? Rich men with their nice clothes on and their nice, you know, 200-pound leather shoes, they don't climb trees. But this man humbles himself to climb a tree. Yes, he does. He humbles himself to lift himself up to see. He sacrifices his pride. He doesn't care what the people think. The world will not even condescend to seek Christ. But this man, he does. He climbs a tree in his nice suit to see Jesus. You know, the scholars and the educated, the rich and the wealthy, they won't be seen carrying a Bible. They won't be seen reading a Bible. A Bible isn't going to be the thing that's going to be their pleasure. They're not going to hear a Bible read. They're not going to hear a Bible proclaimed. But in order to get on the path of seeing the Lord, that's the very thing sinners have to do. They have to be seen with the Bible. You'll not see Jesus without being seen with the Bible. No. And nowadays you have to humble yourself to be seen with the Bible, to carry a Bible, to read the Bible, to go to the house of God just to hear the Bible preached. Oh, I'll never do that. I'll never lower myself to that. That's below me. Well, to see Jesus, you have to climb up into that tree to see him. The tree of submitting to this book. This book. Both these men are humble then. Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus. What does the Bible say? The humble shall see. That's what the Bible says. The humble shall see. The rest will be blinded. But the humble shall see, and your heart shall live. That seek God. God resisteth the proud, but the humble, he stops at their door. He stops at their door. He looks up at them. He gives them grace. He goes home with them. He blesses them. He helps them. He heals them. He makes them see the proud far off. But the humble repentant sinner, it's a different story. These men are humbled. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says, and he shall lift you up. He'll lift you up to see. He'll lift you up to give you a satellite view of himself. If you humble yourself, you'll see. This is what the Bible teaches. And then lastly, very quickly, the happy outcome of their desire and their effort to see the Lord. Neither men were disappointed. No. They that seek him with the whole heart shall find him. They who desire to see Jesus shall not be disappointed. Look unto me, and you shall be saved. It's what the Bible teaches. They found it was no vain thing to seek to see the Lord. That desire to see Christ, if it is but properly nourished, shall be fulfilled. They both saw the Lord. And they became glad in seeing him. Just to read the outcome without saying much about it because the time is gone. In chapter 18, verse 40, Jesus stood. He stopped. He commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? He said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith have saved thee. Immediately he received his sight. And what did he do? He followed him. He saw him. And seeing him, he followed him thereafter. He followed in his steps. And he glorified God. He was filled with joy unspeakable. Oh, the Lord didn't disappoint him. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's not a disappointment. And Zacchaeus, well, what a reaction from Christ. I suppose Zacchaeus, as I said, just expected him to go on by. But what happened? Jesus came to the place. He looked up. Zacchaeus, You didn't know that I knew your name. He calls his sheep by name, you see. Zacchaeus was saved this day. Bartimaeus was saved as well. Faith of safety. The two last converts in Israel before the cross. Zacchaeus, today I must abide at thy house. He came down fast, quicker than he got up. He flew down. He maybe even jumped down. But he came down. He received Jesus joyfully. What a great time they had. And you read it there in chapter 19. The desire to see Christ had fruition. Look unto me. Be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. For I am God. And there is none else. Look unto Jesus. Desire to see him. And rest not until you do. Let us pray.